Zimbabwe in sport. Most of the country's sports teams failed to make a mark on the international front, much to the dismay of passionate Zimbabwean fans. In the first of a two-part look at Zimbabwean sport in 2015, reporter Michael Cariotti chronicles the country's disastrous path and looks to the future.
From cricket to rugby via football, the year 2015 was a year that showed that Zimbabwean sport was in crisis. Team sport was a big disappointment, as not only the cricket team but other national teams also turned into punching bags of the international sporting world. However, the mighty Warriors did the nation proud by qualifying for the 2016 Olympic Games to be held in Rio de Janeiro, although that too was nothing to gloat about. The women's soccer team qualified after beating only two teams, Zambia and Cameroon, following the withdrawal of powerhouses Equatorial Guinea. This resulted in the mighty Warriors being denied the Team of the Year Award and annual National Sports Awards, with that honor going to the netball team. But still, the mighty Warriors will be there with the best the world has to offer, and Captain Felistus Mzungoni is excited about the adventure of going to Rio.
I feel so much excited because this is our first time to qualify for the Olympics. It's our first time in history.
There were, of course, some successes in individual sports like boxing, swimming, Special Olympics, and bodybuilding. Kirsty Coventry won 3 gold medals at the All Africa Games.
It's been an honor to represent Zimbabwe at the All Africa Games, and I was just very thankful that I was able to go there and do as well as I did. You know, I've said all along that Rio Olympics will be my last big international competition, and it was very sad. It did take me a little bit by surprise how emotional I got saying goodbye to the team, being on the podium for the last time in Africa. It's always been such a big part of my career.
Not to be outdone was boxer Charles Manucci, who retained his World Boxing Council silver title belt after systematically knocking down Gianluca Fraser in his own home country of Italy. His Zambian handlers, Oriental Boxing Promotions, represented by Chris Maluna, immediately announced they would be challenging British World Boxing Council bronze title belt holder Amir Khan.
Our next target is Amir Khan. I'm going to go to WBC convention in Cancun,
China,
to make sure that I go and bid for Charles to challenge Amir Khan. That is the route we are going for.
Sadly, though, Manucci has parted ways with Zambians, but has decided to go it alone. There were celebrations, too, for the Zimbabwe Special Olympic athletes who went to the World Games in Los Angeles. The Zimbabweans brought back 12 medals, 3 gold, 3 silver, and 6 bronze medals. Nyasha Derere was one of the athletes who brought back a gold medal.
I enjoyed the place. To me, it was like heaven on earth. Everything, the environment, everyone was cheering for us. I never knew nor dreamed that in life there are other people who are so loving, so caring. As I experienced, everyone cheering up for me, signing autographs of other people's.
The winds of change also blew in the administration and blown away by the wind when Zifa's Kagbe Dube, who was fired by the Zifa Council, and Zimbabwe cricketer Wilson Manase, who lost his post to Ngoni Mukhuhlane in an election. Dube has since been replaced by Harare businessman Philip Chiangwa, who on his part received the confidence of the same Zifa Council with a 40-vote win over Trevor Keosiju, who could only manage 12 votes. Before his departure, Dube said the Zimbabwean football family was very ungrateful after financing the national team from his own pocket on a number of occasions.
Otherwise, I just told my boys, just enjoy your football. No pressure. We don't have any pressure. What for?
Chiangwa, however, has promised milk and honey for Zimbabwean football. He says he's going there to do a national service, not to waste his time.
I'm a man of action. Through my board and the Zifa Council, to make sure that the Zimbabwe flag and anthem plays at Qatar 2022.
Football, though, was characterized by tragedy following the death of 3 Zimbabwean greatest footballers, Willard Mashinkila Kumalo, Paul Gundani, and Freddie Nkwesha. Reporting in Harare, this is Michael Cariotti.
of America, VOA.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And we'll hear part two of Michael Cariotti's look at Zimbabwean sport in 2015 during Tuesday's Sunny Side of Sports. Joining us now with more sports news is Mark Ouma, the VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman. And Mark begins with handball.
Defending champions Tunisia beat hosts Switzerland 37-29 to retain their Yellow Cup handball crown in Zurich, Switzerland on Sunday. Early on Saturday, they dismissed Austria 34-29 to advance to the final. Austria outplayed Portugal 34-30 in the bronze medal playoff. Tunisia used the event as a warm-up to the Africa Men's Handball Cup of Nations starting in Egypt in a fortnight. Turning to athletics, Waknesh Edessa prevailed in the women's contest in a lifetime best of 2 hours, 24 minutes and 4 seconds at the Xiamen International Marathon in China on Saturday. Runner-up Martha Lema and Fantu Eticha completed the Ethiopian women's medal podium sweep. Meanwhile, Kenyan Vincent Kipruto clocked 2 hours, 10 minutes and 18 seconds to triumph in the men's contest. Ethiopians Shura Kitata and Feyisa Bekele placed second and third, respectively. In Spain, Kenyan-born Mike Keegan of Turkey clocked 27 minutes and 35 seconds to triumph in the end-of-the-year San Silvestre 10-kilometer road race in Madrid, Spain. Lynette Masai of Kenya was a clear winner in the women's race in 31 minutes and 38 seconds. In Italy, Ethiopians Tamirat Tola and Netsanet Gudeta were crowned winners at the both classic New Year's road race in Bolzano, northern Italy. Tola won the men's 10-kilometer contest in 28 minutes and 28 seconds, while Gudeta prevailed in the women's 5-kilometer event in 15 minutes and 57 seconds.
Thanks, Mark. That's Mark Ouma of our Daybreak Africa radio show, which you can hear Monday through Friday on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, some of the world's top players are in Australia, where they're tuning up for the year's first Grand Slam event. The Australian Open begins January 18th at Melbourne Park. One of the players down under is Swiss star Roger Federer, whose preparations took a lighthearted turn on Sunday when he played an exhibition match using a giant racket. On a more serious note, Federer made his first trip to Malawi in 2015 in support of his charitable foundation. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2015, let's look back on Roger's trip. Swiss tennis star Roger Federer says his first visit to Malawi was an unforgettable journey and learning experience. The world's number two ranked player traveled to Southern Africa after losing to Novak Djokovic in the Wimbledon final July 12th. In Malawi, Federer visited the Mbwetu Community-Based Child Care Center, a preschool. He says his foundation has helped support the preschool for more than 4 years, as well as others in the Southern Africa region.
I am so happy and emotional that I can see a preschool of this quality here in Malawi. I must say it's quite extraordinary, actually, and it makes me really, really happy. And that's not possible with the help of the community, the parents, ActionAid Malawi, everybody involved. It's been amazing, and it's been an absolute pleasure to be here today.
Roger Federer established his foundation in 2003 to help poor children in Africa and provide them with an education. 5 years ago, Roger played Spanish star Rafael Nadal in a charity exhibition called Match for Africa, and that Match for Africa raised more than $4 million for his foundation and Rafa's foundation. In Malawi, Roger played with the children and helped cook and serve them lunch. He says he liked what he saw at the preschool.
I'm really impressed at the community here because it's the driver and they are so committed to improving their own village, helping their kids for a better future and making it sustainable at the end of the day. That's most important, that this is an ongoing thing and hopefully forever.
Roger Federer has ambitious goals for his foundation, and he reflects on his trip to Malawi.
I learned a lot, and I thought it was an unforgettable journey of learning for me personally as well. I feel like the kids are having a great time. It's so inspiring and motivating every time I come to a beautiful country like Malawi this time. It's my first time here. And of course, I'll keep going. We have high goals for the Roger Federer Foundation to reach 1 million children that can benefit from the foundation, because children are tomorrow's future.
Swiss tennis star Roger Federer speaking last year during his first visit to Malawi. Follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Finally, in pro basketball, here's a Sunny Side of Sports shout out for Jimmy Butler of the Chicago Bulls. Butler broke Michael Jordan's team record for points and a half, firing in 40 of his 42 after the break to lead the Chicago Bulls to a 115-113 road victory Sunday over the Toronto Raptors. Michael Jordan had 39 points also in the second half in a game against the Milwaukee Bucks in 1988. Meanwhile, in New York City, Aaron Aflalo scored a season-high 38 points for the New York Knicks, who clipped the wings of the visiting Atlanta Hawks 111-97. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. Mm-hmm.